This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation. All right, Royce Unchained, presented by Josh Arnold, investment consultant, Mr. Money Talk. Pat is our spring training consultant down there in Florida. You've already been to the ballpark this morning.
Yes, I was there early, 8 o'clock. The media gates open at 8. I was there before the guy who opens the media gates opened up.
So wow.
I wanted to go lazy. I was going to go in and talk to the four catchers who are spring training invites. Always the hardest working guys in camp with little reward. They get to warm up a whole lot of pitchers and then hope they get two at bats before they get sent across the parking lot. So now they don't work them quite as hard as they used to, though, because there used to be like maybe three of them, and they warmed up like eight different pitchers every day. Right now they give them like two pitchers a day to warm up. So it's an easier job than it used to be, but the reward is pretty much the same. Two ABs, see you later. You know?
So. Yeah.
Thanks for your service.
Yes, that's right. So
what
great, but Phil Babe Ruth was there today, showed up 63rd spring training for the great catcher. He and Blylevin were walking out together. And Babe Ruth was a very good catcher when Burt Blylevin was pitching back then. He was
okay.
Very good. He caught him a lot. So Babe Ruth, if you've ever been down here for spring training, Phil, you have, and he was a great BP thrower, because until he was like 75, he was throwing BP, and he could throw these wonderful cookies right in the middle of the plate. I saw Vargas and Sano damaging buildings when he was pitching BP one day. Sano almost hit the school across the highway, and Vargas, left-handed, kept hitting the ball off the roofs of those buildings over there, those office buildings.
Yeah.
They love it. Didn't really get you ready for big league pitching, but it got your confidence up that you could hit a ball 450 feet. So
yeah. I think, anyway, you know, if we should do like a Mount Rushmore of great Twins batting practice players who were not quite as good in real life. Danny Valencia was one for me. Danny Valencia could hit a ball into any parking lot you wanted to in a batting practice session.
Yeah, those early batting practice sessions where they weren't, you know, back in the day when the staff was much smaller and they weren't monitoring everything, you know, some guy just go over there and throw BP and there'd be, you know, five or six early guys and just hitting the ball as far as they possibly could. It was always fun to see that kind of BP. Now you got, I don't think the BP pitchers are, you don't have as many guys can throw that a cookie right down the middle of the plate every time. And I mean, anybody, they go into the home run contest. If you were a Twin, you should have taken Phil Ruth with you for years, you know, because he, you know, the secret of all those home run contests is who your pitcher is, right?
Yeah. It is 100%. Yeah.
I mean, the guy that when you have to take a pitch, that's not your fault. That's the other guy's fault. That's the pitcher's fault.
And you're on a clock, right? You're on a clock in the home run derby.
Yeah.
Tom Kelly was good, right?
Yeah, he was good.
Real good BP pitcher.
Greatest picture of him ever was the one throwing BP with the cigar hanging out of his little cigar, top of the cigar hanging out of his mouth. That was
Is that the one where he's next to the jugs machine in the Metrodome?
Yeah,
that could have been that one. Yeah, he was. Okay. They were, well, you know who else was good? Quillacy was good, because there was one year, 75. There were three coaches. Quillacy was the manager. Buck Rogers was the pitching coach, bullpen coach. Ralph Rowe was an old guy who didn't throw BP. Vern Morgan was an old guy who did throw BP. Buck Rogers and Frank Quillacy threw 1,000 innings apiece in BP. And they get Jerry Terrell, who was an extra infielder. He'd throw BP too. Now, if you look, we traveled two BP pitchers, and there are two bullpen catchers.
Oh, yeah.
Now, on the staff. not counting the coaches, you know. So it's a little better staff than used to be the case.
Yeah, I got to imagine bullpen catcher's got to be like one of the coolest jobs. Like if your job is just to catch bullpens, I would love that.
Yes. Nate Dahman, the longtime.
Nate's got the position now, right? Hank Conger's the official catching coach, but he coaches first base too.
Yep.
But Nate is out in the bullpen now. Yeah. They moved him out. Hey, a slow, long climb, but they trust the hell out of him. He was the guy for years who told them whether to challenge something or not, right?
Didn't he Nate was sitting back there on the tablet. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, they've changed the rules on that, right? They only give you 15 seconds.
Right,
that's why that guy's not as important as he used
Sean
to be.
Sean Harlan was the first, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Sean was, but they moved Sean aside to let Nate do it. So Sean must have missed one or two or something. I don't know.
No, not Sean.
John was a great guy. He took care of us media types, which is good. Twins have always had good PR. So as far as working with the press, that's for sure.
Yeah. So what are we, are we still doing Good Morning America? Have we continued? So like the Tom Kelly back in the day would do this convoluted infield, you know, six balls flying all over the place.
I have not seen it. I think that everything from that generation is gone. We got so many people working with, you know, I saw them going out this morning for the pre-workout meeting. There had to be 25 guys going. I mean, someone with iPads, coaches, everything. I mean, yeah, a little upgrade from when Billy Gardner had himself and Padres and two other guys and, you know, and Wayne Hathaway. It's a little different than it used to be, that's for sure.
Yeah. We were talking earlier this week. We've touched on this a little bit with you. We talked about the starting staff, but we kind of like the bullpen. Not a lot of household names, but they go get the lefty from Miami, and you got so Funderburk is now your third lefty behind Thielbar, and then the Miami lefty. But they've got some arms. I think they were tops in the league in strikeout rate last year as a bullpen. They replaced Emilio Pagan with a couple interesting arms. So if Duran stays healthy at the end, I don't know. This show kind of likes the bullpen, I guess, Pat.
Yeah, well, they've certainly thrown a lot of resources at it. What is interesting, though, is, you know, you think about them running that St. Paul shuffle back and forth, but a lot of these guys are stuck, right? Because they'd have to go through waivers again if you send them down. I mean, about three or four of these guys are big leaguers who they claimed on waivers. And if they're in St. Paul and you want to bring them back, they got to go through waivers again, don't they? I think they do. So it's not going to be as easy to run the Chris Archer shuffle as it used to be when he'd give you three and a third and then he'd have to bring two relievers over from St. Paul. That's not you're really valuable in as a reliever these days if you have options so they can run you back four or five. I think the limit's five times, right, a year.
And, is it five? No, yeah. Well, it's complicated because there's season options, but then there's like in-season options now too, right?
And you could only, I think last year they switched it to, you could only recall a guy five times.
Okay.
So when
you say someone's out of options, it could mean that, because there's the like you have to, once you hit like three seasons worth of being optioned, then you're whatever it is, then you're out of options. Yes. But then there's in the middle of a season, if you've been optioned X amount of times.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, though. Maybe I'm wrong. I thought if you were claimed on waivers and you got sent back, then you couldn't do the shuffle back and forth. It come back to the big leagues. You had to go through waivers. I'll have to check on that.
The other thing they're cracking down on, I don't know if you guys saw, it was that the Mets old general manager got suspended for fudging injuries. Now every team does this, but like there was a couple pitchers for the Mets that were pretty vocal, just like openly talking to the media about how someone pulled a clip of a Mets pitcher who was struggling saying, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't want to do the fake DL thing, but I guess the Mets were sloppy with it. And they got slapped.
Yes, that's you have to have the guy on board when you invent the injury for him to send him
out.
So, you know, the other thing that's happening that I was not aware of, this season, I think you can only have 175 players in your organization. I think there's a new...
Oh, we're cracking down on that one.
There's a new thing on... and I'm not sure, does that include all the 16-year-old Latin kids over at the Dominican camp or not? I'll have to check.
Well, we're now in the era now, like as of what, 4 years ago, where everyone has the same number of minor league affiliates. Because some organizations used to have an extra one in there somewhere. So you can so each roster is capped at a certain amount of players. So yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but here's what I was thinking. Really? Do you want to eliminate opportunity in baseball when you're competing with all these other sports for the 16-year-old great athlete? Don't you want to?
It's financial, Pat.
Yeah, I know it is, but don't you want to keep? Okay, so what?
No, they want to make more money.
Guys, yeah, I mean, they might want to make more money, but if you're losing, if you're somehow letting a couple of great athletes slip through the cracks, that's not worth it, losing the money.
So. You really think baseball thinks like that, though? I'm not sure that baseball's as logical as that.
No.
I think they think that they're pretty powerful still. I don't think they get a lot of this if it costs them. If it doesn't cost them, I think they're fine with it. Rule changes don't cost them.
They're getting a pretty good lesson in how valuable they are, though, with this collapse of the regional television networks and how they haven't been able to come up with a solution to that. I mean, they're powerful in the sense that they got product, 162 days of product, but the ratings are even the. You know, when you talk about regional TV and the Twins are playing good and they're doing a four, if the Vikings have a exhibition game on, they're doing a 12 or something. So TV wise, it's, I mean, what did the NFL just do? 113 million. Is that right?
Viewers, it was like 123, right? It was
the largest audience ever to watch. And that's, now they must have figured out a way to count streaming, huh? Are they counting streaming now or not?
They did it
a little separately because that press release that came out, because the Super Bowl was streamed on Paramount Plus because it was a CBS year of the Super Bowl. So the Paramount Plus Super Bowl stream was the most watched live stream, they said, ever.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Is that counting 100? So they threw that into the 120 or whatever it was. So I suppose.
Hey, real quick, Pat, we have an up. So, guys, I quizzed you on this a couple days ago. Somebody updated the Wikipedia rankings for most watched television broadcasts in U.S. history. If you take away Super Bowls, so Super Bowls make up almost everything.
Yes.
And then there's the MASH finale from 1983,
which had a hunt.
That is still the most watched non-sporting event in American television history. They've added a couple more in here in the last couple days. I'm going to give you this list here. So Gulf War coverage from January 16, 1991 had 86 million viewers across multiple networks.
That's when the NHL was having its all-star game and they got interrupted in the third period for a Pentagon briefing. We were all into the war that year. So
yeah. And then we had two presidential debates. Clinton versus Trump in 2016 had 84 million. Carter versus Reagan in 1980 had 81 million viewers across multiple networks.
Holy cow. I never realized that Hillary and Trump did that much business. So
it's a lot of ratings right there. And then we've got the Dallas Whodunit episode, the Cheers finale. The 94 figure skating drama from the Winter Olympics.
I was there. Tanya Harding. I was there, man. I was there in the
arena. You were in the press conference.
I was at the press. I made some various TV shows in the press conference.
You did. You made a 30 for 30, I think.
Contemplating the BS that I was being fed.
Yeah, it looked like that.
But I was there when Tanya skated over and showed the judges her shoelaces and was crying, and we're all going, this is too good to be true. Yeah. It was unbelievable. It was great. Jay Weiner always told me the story about when Nancy got hit with the pipe, and they were all in, all the figure skating guys were there, and they were all in the press room then because nobody was, just practicing. And somebody came and somebody rushed in and said, somebody hit Nancy Kerrigan with a pipe. And they all said, Tanya. they all knew Tanya's.
They knew.
Blue collar friends were a different breed of cat. By the way, one of the great movies of the last 10 years, Tanya.
I, Tanya.
I, Tanya.
Fantastic.
Allison Janney. That's great. Allison Janney, greatest mom in the history of television. God, she was, I mean, in moviedom, she was fantastic. I think she did win the Supporting Actress, right?
Yeah.
Even though she carried the whole damn thing. So anyway, yeah, we got a lot of arms, that's for sure. And bullpen, yeah, the bullpen's going to be good. That's why I think they ought to let Louis Varland try to be a starter for a while here, because they're going to need him there. We can't go back to the, you know, they taught themselves a lesson. You got to have starters who pitch innings. That's why they were good last year. You can't repeat 2022. You're going to end up right back where you were, what, 78 and 84 or something like that.
Did we get clarity from Rocco on Buxton or in any of the issues going into spring training?
I haven't even seen Buck around, so okay. I don't know. Yeah. I haven't seen him. He wasn't, Edmund, you know, they don't have to report till Sunday. I haven't seen him in the clubhouse. Maybe he's on the backfields. I don't know. I think he'd been around, but I haven't seen him. So I don't think we start. How's Buck look until Sunday at least? So
okay,
and then we'll find out.
And so Monday, when's the first full squad workout? Monday?
I think Sunday.
Sunday. Okay.
Yeah, because I found out something when they everybody still calls it reporting date, but actually, whenever they say reporting, that's the first day of workouts. So you know, yesterday was the first day of workouts instead of a reporting day, but the old terminology is still used, reporting day. And we have no visa problems as at this point.
What?
We don't have the traditional Cesar Tovar Memorial visa problem.
We always have a visa
problem. What happened?
Problem. I don't know.
Part of baseball. It's a rite of passage.
I know it is. We don't have any. Somebody reminded me. I said that Cesar Tovar always had a visa problem when I was. You know, when I was a kid, not covering the Twins, following the Twins. But another guy who always had a visa problems, Al Williams. Remember Al Williams, the pitcher from Nicaragua?
Yeah.
He always had visa
problems. Did he have visa problems?
He's the guy that supposedly fought against the Sandinistas, right? Was he fought against the Sandinistas?
I forgot about that. Yes, he was.
One of Billy Gardner's tasteful remarks after Al went about 2 1/3 and spit the bit. Billy said, I can tell you when they were fighting the Sandinistas, he was hiding in the cave.
Oh, no, he's not another, a foxhole guy. Not
another quote you couldn't use from Billy Gardner.
certainly not the same thing, but I will say, I applied for a passport renewal and I got it in 2 weeks. It took no time. I thought that sucker was going to be there for months. Got it back in 2 weeks. So maybe they're on top of their game right
international
now.
International departments are snappy right
well,
now.
Well, they have full time staff members now that work with the Latin American players to make sure that they're getting their passports. I saw Johan.
Johan Duran. Okay.
I saw him walk through the clubhouse today. Oof. He looks, man, he's in good shape, ready to throw 100. Let's hope that, let's hope nothing happens to him because that's all the difference. I mean, you had Alex Colome ruin a season. You had Emilio Pagan ruin a season. And you won last year because you had a guy blow, what, 3 saves? He gave us some adventures later in the year.
It makes a difference. It makes a difference. Yeah. And in the playoffs, too. You know, you're getting in these close games and you got these lineups. You're going through the heart of a lineup. Do you have a guy that can shut her down? The Astros always do.
Yes. And this, to me, he was their MVP last year. He didn't get the votes. Who did he vote for? Sonny Gray, I guess, got it. So,
Twins MVP, yeah, Sonny Gray, right? Yeah.
Yes, I wouldn't. I would have went with Duran, but that's the way it goes. But yeah. He's, you recall it was only what 3 years ago that he pitched 15 innings because he had some kind of an ailment, right? They went one summer away, only pitched 15 innings, so. Good health for him is very important.
Yeah. Just back to the TV wormhole here, you guys. I have now found a list. This is right up Pat's alley. I have now found a list of the highest rated TV series by year in American television history.
Ooh.
All right, Pat, when did you start watching TV consciously?
I think we got our first TV in 54, maybe 55. We were like the fifth or sixth family in Fulda to have a TV, to get KELO channel 11, and my old man had a tower up to bring it in that could have knocked down airplanes. It was
wow,
lightning
for
run.
one station, and it was an old black and white tube Philco with a screen about it as big as my head.
Yeah. Well, and what's funny about that era is, you know, the top-rated TV series were doing 60 shares because there was only three channels, right?
Yeah. I Love Lucy had to be the number one for like 8 years, didn't it?
That was the number one show when you first got your TV. So it was I Love Lucy from 52 through 57, but then there was one show. So these are like series, yeah. The number one series.
Yeah.
There was one show that broke up the I Love Lucy dynasty in 1955-56.
What?
The Honeymooners?
The $64,000 question.
Oh, really?
That was rigged, right?
It was rigged, but then Charles Van Dorn was the scandal that revolved around Charles Van Dorn. They were feeding him the answers, and that was bigger than any political scandal. We were very upset at Charles Van Dorn. How was it? Was Hit Parade ever the winner there?
Where's Bonanza?
Bonanza had a nice dynasty from 1964 through 67 after Gunsmoke and the Beverly Hillbillies took over the number one.
Yeah.
You guys watch some bad TV, Royce.
Man. You know who I, who was I talking to? Who's, I think it's Austin Martin's fiance. Or is almost fiance, her she's got kind of a old hokey name, and her last name's Clampett.
Jed Clampett's.
She could have been in the Beverly Hillbillies.
Wow.
Wait, did you say almost fiance? Did he?
I don't think.
Are you spilling the beans here?
He's with her, but he isn't. I don't think he's. I think he hasn't ponied up the ring yet.
He doesn't have the ring yet. Okay.
No.
So I don't want you to spoil the surprise if he told you that he's
no, but
she watches too.
He's gonna hit a walk off homer and propose.
And they could be the Beverly Hills Billy's family because his mother's name is Daisy.
Okay.
Wow.
And he's almost engaged to a Clampett. That's right out of Beverly Hillbillies. He can laugh about it. He says. Not only is her first name Daisy, her middle name's Esther.
Yeah. Wow. Daisy, Esther, Clampett.
Daisy, Esther. No, she's not Clampett. She's, I don't know. She's got some other last name.
Oh,
Clampett's, okay, Clampett's the girlfriend.
So. Got it. Yeah.
Anyway.
So, well, I'm glad we covered a lot of ground here today. Pat, we'll do it again tomorrow. Royce Unchained.
All right. See you, Pat.
All right. See you, Pat. By the way, a shout out to our friends at Zero Res, helping to deep clean our homes here. If all you really do is vacuum and light dusting, maybe it's time to call Zero Res and ask for the Score North Special, which is three rooms, Zero Resified, starting at just $119 and a free hallway. Also, take $75 off when you get your air ducts Zero Res clean. That's 952-ZERO-RES or ZeroResMinnesota.com and say you want the Score North Special. Spell it forward or backwards. It spells the same, Zero Res.